I take from my text from the 12th chapter of St. Luke, verses 13 to 15. And one of the multitude said to him, "Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Man, who hath appointed me judge or divider over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of all covetousness, for a man's life doth not consist in the abundance of things which he possesseth." The name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our conference ended last week with the death of Catherine Drexel's mother, Emma Bouvier Drexel. In the newspaper account of her funeral, where the poor people she had helped with such generosity during her lifetime, they came by the hundreds to pay their mournful farewell. Only 2 years later, in February 1885, the three Drexel girls lost their father, Francis Anthony, after a brief illness which had not been considered life-threatening. Mr. Drexel was buried with a pontifical high mass at St. Mary's Church, Philadelphia, a mass celebrated by the Archbishop of Philadelphia himself, Archbishop Ryan. 2,000 people filled the church and countless others stood outside. Every class of society was represented, including all members of the banking houses of the Drexels in Philadelphia and New York, a stock exchange committee, representatives of the corporation of the German hospital, and countless others, rich and poor. Resolutions of sympathy, glowing tributes of newspapers, letters of condolence paid reverent tribute to this outstanding citizen. But it was the terms of the last will and testament of the wealthy Mr. Drexel which astounded the public and became a national news story at the time. There were two things over which the late Frank Drexel had taken particular care: the protection of his three daughters and his provision for the poor. The father, first of all, wanted to protect his three daughters against fortune hunters. This is a regular theme in much 19th century storytelling. It was a recognizable character type of man, the cunning young man who would try to make a wealthy heiress fall in love with him in order to get his hands on her money. But the terms of the Drexel will forbade any future husband of one of the three girls from ever having anything to do with the administration of the wife's property. The three daughters were to share equal income distributions from a $14 million trust estate. If, however, they died without any living children, their portion went to the still living sisters. So in the course of time, it was Catherine who ended up as the last living sister and the sole heiress of this income from the trust estate. When she died in 1955, however, 70 years after her father's will came into force, the trust estate was terminated. It was dissolved. And at this time, all of the remaining money that was left in it was divided among a long list of institutions which had received, upon his death, one-tenth of his fortune. So in 1885, and again in 1955, the Drexel fortune was distributed among church institutions and charitable institutions under Catholic auspices. But Mother Catherine Drexel's religious order, which she had founded, was obviously not among any of the charities which received money at the dissolving of the Drexel Family Trust. Why? Because it had not existed at the time of Francis Drexel's will. Indeed, it had not even been contemplated. Here follows a partial list of the charities which Frank Drexel named in his will. This was 1885. And just this partial lift gives us such a strong sense of the breadth of his charity and his awareness of the great human need all around him. Conferences of St. Vincent de Paul, St. John's Orphan Asylum, the Roman Catholic Society of St. Joseph for educating and maintaining poor orphan children, Catholic Home for Destitute Children, Little Sisters of the Poor, St. Vincent's Orphan Asylum, St. Mary Magdalene de Pazzi's Asylum for Italian Orphan Girls, St. Anne's Widow's Asylum, and on the list goes. What a contrast, what an exhilarating contrast this list is to so much of the organized charitable giving of the present day. It was just a few years ago, there was a report on the money which is set aside in charitable foundations in America. And the report revealed a shocking, unpalatable truth about the big charitable foundations in the United States. That is that while there is a huge amount of wealth locked up in charitable foundations, very little of that huge amount of wealth is actually getting paid out. Instead, it's like trickling water faucet. Small portions drizzled out year by year to satisfy the minimum legal disbursements, and they make very little difference to the missions which they're set up to support. Like a few crumbs for which the recipients are expected to be extremely grateful. The sad fact is that charitable giving foundations in the United States, in many cases, they're cheap. The money they should be spending copiously on good works and worthy enterprises, it's being hoarded instead. Just sitting there, locked away tight. And for what? For what? Let me conclude our conference tonight with some observations taken from Father Frederick William Faber's Spiritual Conferences. And this is a book which was an important spiritual reading book for the Drexel family. We know that from their papers. So what Father Faber says in that book is something that his words from Spiritual Conferences, we know it shaped them in their own Catholic faith. This is what Father Faber says in regard to almsgiving by the rich, by those who have ample means. He says, "Why are there any rich people at all? And what does God mean by them? The rich are not made rich for their own good. That is quite plain. A man's good consists in the saving of his soul, but it is plain that riches do not help him save his soul. Rather, the contrary. Riches, if the gospel be true, are the unheavenliest of all earthly things. Why then are some men put into a less advantageous position than others so far as regards the salvation of their souls by having riches allotted to them? What are rich people meant for? The rich are meant for the poor. The poor are the cause and the significancy, as they will be also the salvation of the rich. Are the poor wearisome, grasping, unseasonable, insatiable, unreasonable, innumerable, unbearable? It is more unreasonable than thee, rich man, to complain. Give them and be silent. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen."